You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
CJLO News, I'm Shanalee Marie. Via Rail has canceled most of its routes as protests in solidarity with the West Owatan Hereditary Chiefs continue. It's an expansion of earlier train closures between Toronto and Montreal after the Taidinaga protesters' barricade rail passage. The protesters in West Owatan territory are fighting the construction of a pipeline on their traditional territory. The BC Supreme Court has passed an injunction barring people from blocking access to the BC legislature. It came one day before a planned Saturday protest in Victoria to block access to the government buildings. The government security officers have been allowed to arrest people for disrupting access. In other news, about 144 Canadians have been victims of data breaches in the past 2 years at the hands of government agencies. According to a new report tabled in the House of Commons, the breaches range from minor mishandling to major disclosures of personal information. The report also did not offer a reason for the breaches. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Please stand by.
Please stand by.
There is no beauty, only ugliness. There is no glamour, only ghastly blemish. All romance disfigured.
Hello, I didn't see you there because this is radio and I can't see anything because I'm a disembodied voice that's playing to you right now. Ha ha! I fooled you again. Did I? Actually, I'm not sure if I fooled you at all. I don't think that's the proper term to use here. But I did something for sure. Hey, everybody, it's Grade A Explosives. Here on CJLO 1690 AM, I'm Andrew, and boy, howdy, is it a show today. It is a big one, full of stuff and junk and junk, and if you can believe it, stuff. Yeah. So first off, we're starting off the first hour by playing some songs, and then after that, we're going to get Clem from White Cowbell, Oklahoma, calling in to talk about the 20th year of White Cowbell, Oklahoma. And the show they're going to be playing at Let's Go Griff, coming up here next week. A mere less than 7 days away. I know, crazy, right? Ah, yes. And then after that, we're going to have the sweet, sultry sounds of the listener as they play smooth jazz to all of your ears. I think that's right. I'm pretty sure that's what they play. Smooth jazz and nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. They're probably out in the hallway right now if they're hearing this going, what is he saying? Please make him stop saying what he's saying. But it's too late! I've already said it. So there. Let's start off with some rock things in some White Cowbell, Oklahoma spirit. I'm going to play some Destruction Derby from you from right here in Montreal. They have a new EP called Top Speed that came out at the end of last year. Let's play Burnout because, you know, why not? There's no reason not to. And then we'll see where we kind of morph from there. Yeah. So keep it locked. This is Grade A Explosive, CJLO, 1690 AM, White Cowbell, Oklahoma, coming up in a few. So stay tuned. Finger guns.
Yeah. presents the Nuit d'Afrique year-long concerts, a series of four shows in February. Don't miss it. EMDE, grand winner of the Cité d'Or 2019, will present his new Mandinka Blues show at Club Balatu on Thursday, February 6th. For the Urban Africa Night, Deg J Force 3 will perform with Mohamed Django Camara on Saturday, February 15th at Le National. Tickets and info available on productionsnuitdafrique.com.
Boost your resume by studying abroad and get that dream job. Don't miss the Study and Go Abroad Fair on Saturday, February 29th at the Palais de Congrès de Montréal. Admission is free. Expo opens at 1 p.m., but come early at noon to catch the feature seminar. For more information, check out our website, studyandgoabroad.com.
If you like served with a side of a little bit of and a heaping helping of then you're gonna love BVST, your best and worst of rock and roll, country, punk and metal, every Wednesday from 7 to 9 right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
This is CJLO.
Yeah. CJLO, 1690 AM. What you just heard there, well, we'll circle back to that. We'll go from the top and top of the show and work our way forward, shall we? Let's shall. You heard some Destruction Derby there, kicking everything off with Burnout off of their new Top Speed EP, which came out at the end of last year. Some Namaste from Muffler Crunch. And then you heard some White Cowbell Oklahoma with Buenos Noches. And you might be saying to yourself, Andrew, didn't you say that there would be a member of White Cowbell Oklahoma calling in to chat with you on today's show? You have a great memory, friend. You've done well. And in fact, I do have such a person. I have Clem from White Cowbell Oklahoma on the line with me. How's it going, good sir?
Hey, Andrew, CJLO. I didn't think we'd be talking about my member on the Sabbath day, but yeah, that's okay. That's all right. That's okay. I'm just joking. Is it a Sabbath day? I don't even know what that is. It's always a Sabbath day. I like Deep Purple, too. How about you, Andrew?
It was 50th anniversary of Sabbath last week of their first album, and it, many people posting about it. Is Black Sabbath the first metal band? What do you think? What's your thoughts?
Oh, man. Well, the first metal band that I... Actually, that's not true. You know what? Well, metal. What does metal mean?
That's a good question, too.
I would say they were the first metal band that I knew about. Yes. I guess the short answer is yes. I was just listening to Black Sabbath Volume 4, like 17 seconds ago. And, you know that song, Under the Sun? I mean, that's like sleep. That's like High on Fire. That's like everything. That's everything right there. So as far as their debut record being, 50 years old, I'd say there was other stuff, but it wasn't like Black Sabbath. There's no way. No way, Montreal and listeners around the world, I'm sure, of CJLO in Montreal.
Facts.
How are you doing?
Well, let me. I've already kind of started off this interview, but I'll try and back up and act like I'm starting it again here, because I figure that by the time bands get to me, they've already done a bunch of interviews, and I know you guys have been doing interviews for 20 years. So, what's a question that you don't want to be asked or you're tired of answering? If I have it on this list, I'll strike it. You will not have to answer it.
Okay. Here's a question I hate being asked. What's in that little pocket of your jeans, sir?
right.
I also hate being asked, are you crossing the border to work, sir? I hate being asked, sir, can you step out of the back of the van, sir? And I hate being asked, we're just going to take a little DNA sample, sir. Is that okay, sir? Those are the questions I hate. So you can ask anything else, man. It's cool.
Sounds good.
Cool.
All right. all my questions about the border then I will eliminate. So that's 63 through, 84. Okay. All right. Good. Good. Okay. They're done. Well, let us discuss a bit about 20 years of White Cowbell, Oklahoma. I imagine that has been quite the ride. Is it kind of surreal to think that you guys are now like 20 years old, that you're almost legal in the States? Well, to drink at least.
We're like all grown up. Yeah, it's pretty weird because, you know, we just started as a sort of a bit of a lark. There wasn't really any like time. There wasn't any plan. There's never a plan. There's still not a plan. But there definitely wasn't a plan to play more than like a gig and then play another gig and then another gig and then play 20 years of gigs. So I don't know. And then, you know, I always thought every record we did, but this could be our last one, better make it good. And then we'd make another one, and then people keep showing up. It's your fault, people. We could just be playing video games and relaxing. No, it's good. I'm glad. I'm glad that this fire has been lit under the collective asses of White Cowboy, Oklahoma, and all the notable people that have been in the bands in the past and present. So, yeah, it's surreal, but every day is surreal. Just waking up is surreal. Isn't reality weird?
I mean, yeah, especially now, reality is very weird. Yes, that is true.
Oh, that's nothing new for us, though. In fact, when we started, things were kind of weird, and we thought we'd just, you know, poke the bear a lot. That's basically why we started. We just wanted to aggravate. We wanted to make good music, but we really wanted to aggravate people. So it's a great time to aggravate people of all sides of life, all slices from the loaf. And you can just aggravate them. It's great.
And it's so easy to aggravate so many people today, too. I mean, just so easy. Disturbingly easy.
We've been lucky. We've been never in a clique, so everybody kind of hated us, other than the people who like us, you know, like people who pay to come to our show. But all the people who are the tastemakers or people in other bands, not every band. We have lots of fun colleagues. But, you know, people who were like the tastemakers appointed as the, you know, pinnacle of artistic achievement in popular Canadian music. and record company people, industry people, they are all mortal enemies to each other, but they collectively hated us. So that's something that we enjoyed.
So you
never joined a clique. We just had a collective sort of like loathing towards us in the industry, and we've just been aggravating them. And some those people in the industry, a lot of them are working for like soda pop companies now, you know. So that's kind of satisfying.
So what you're saying is White Cowbell, Oklahoma brings people together in a way over a common enemy.
Yeah, that's right. We're kind of like Ming the Merciless of rock and roll bands.
Well, you did talk about how you guys have played gigs. You've played gigs all over the world. What's the best place you've ever played?
Oh, man. Well, Montreal, of course.
Yes, of course.
actually, we always do like play Montreal, and it's going to be fantastic fun to play Let's Go, which we haven't played in quite a many year, and we're going to be playing Let's Go in Montreal next Saturday night.
Saturday.
And we're playing with our friends Floating Widget, who we've never played with before, but members of that band play in other bands that you know, some people may be acquainted with like Grimp Skunk and Groovy Aardvark and bands like that. And this is their secret stoner project, and we are pumped as anything to be playing in Montreal next Saturday at Let's Go. In the depths of the earth.
I think I might be mistaken on this, but I think one of the last times that you... Have you played at Let's Go since they've done the renovation?
No. So it's going to be like this whole new world unfolding, like opening a door into another dimension, like going through a black hole. Like, yeah, it's when we played there before, it was like a little tinderbox of energy, and now it's a giant tinderbox of energy. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Like, I was surprised when I went in after the renovation. I'm like, oh, this doesn't strike me as I might die here tonight. That's nice.
Well, as you know, Andrew, Wakaba, Oklahoma have a few power tool contingents.
Yep.
And we tend to, you know, sort of get a bit energetic. So, yeah, maybe it was a little bit dicey before. Paying it, let's go, in the previous incarnation. But that's just the way we like it. Dicey.
Well, it is your 20th anniversary, and as I can tell, Seven Seas of Sleaze was the last thing you guys put out. Are you planning on putting something out this year as like a 20th anniversary gift to all of us, to yourselves?
Yeah, we're working on stuff right now. If we get it together in time, we might have it all finished by the end of the year. But we'll have something by the end of the year because we're going to be doing. We're going to wrap up all this 20-year stuff at the end of the year. So you'll hear from us again at the end of the year. But in the meantime, and then we can move on to the next, the Silver Jubilee. That's the next thing we'll be moving on to. We can move on to the Silver Jubilee. But, yeah, we are writing like frenzied mofos right now. We got all kinds of exciting new music. It's quite something to behold. Seven Seas of Sleaze is quite an interesting little document too. Had some studio tracks, some live to radio tracks, you know. But we're gonna do like a full on Wakaba Oklahoma album. Maybe we'll do like a bunch of solo albums, like Kiss as well, and release them all on the same day. Maybe we'll get all the former members also do solo albums. It's gonna be a little expensive. We're gonna have to extort some people for this money, but whatever. It's nothing new.
I was looking at Seven Seas of Sleaze, and I was seeing that there was stuff from CKXU on there. Just to throw it out there, we got some tracks that you guys did here at CJLO. If you want to feature them on something upcoming, I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking, because every once in a while I go down to the dungeons and unlock the vaults, and I walk past the tortured racks, and I find these things that we've done, and I'm always shocked, like, man, this is good. This is how some stuff actually of ours gets out, and we're like, geez, this is pretty good. And I know there's some CJLO stuff in the can. I know there is. I gotta give that another listen. I know it was pretty cool. It was like a previous incarnation of Wakaba, Oklahoma, but it would be fun to revisit that nonetheless. I know. I remember that fondly, that session.
There was like 8 people crammed into our studio.
It was pretty wild. And we actually have a member of the band right now who I shouldn't give away his secret identity, but he did some time in the trenches with Max Marinar, who also, I think, did maybe actually released an album recorded in your studio. So,
I believe that's correct.
Very
yeah.
cool, man.
Oh, Max and R&R. I love them so much. They're so good. So good.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about rock music, because, you are purveyors of fine rock from here in Canada. And of course, right now, rock is not as, let's say, present in the mainstream as it used to be. Do you think that this is sort of like a hibernation that rock is going into, or is it at a point now where kind of music is so split by the internet and things that it may never be able to kind of go back to the forefront that it used to be at?
Well, it's a loaded question. It's a loaded question, and I've pondered it myself. I mean, you could look at it in a really despondent, kind of pessimistic way and go like, rock and roll is the jazz of the present day, you know, and it's become museum music. Has it become museum music? I don't think so, because people said the same thing about metal, in the 90s. People just wrote it off, and the self-styled critics who are just... they're just self-appointed, and they just like what they like, and they collectively tell everybody that what they like is what's going on, or what the record labels are paying their magazines, with advertising to tell everybody is what's going on. But I was struck when we started going to Europe in the early 2000s, and metal was still kind of like, yeah, right, metal, over here. And then you go to Europe, and it's like the biggest music there is, and it never went away, you know, and it was just a bunch of magazine writers telling everybody that it was dead. It's bigger than ever now, and it's never gone away, and sure, it's gone through little evolutions, but as far as rock goes, it's always there. It's, people say it's dead, but then, you know, people are listening to Tame Impala, it's kind of like psych rock or something, you know, it's just kind of morphed into something, and they just call it something else. Grunge was just rock music, and then he said rock was dead, but it's grunge. You know, it's just a different thing. And as far as like 70s like style rock that we do, like arena rock with psychedelic harmonies and shit like that, sorry, I wasn't supposed to say that, it is, I think this band's still doing it. I've been going to see bands a couple times a month that are just doing it, and I don't know. It's just the magazines and the online blogs and all this stuff telling people it's gone. I think it's going to come to the forefront again, though. It just comes in. It's like a pendulum. But so I don't think it's going to become the museum jazz music of today. That is my conclusion to my experiment in rock and roll that I've been doing for 20 years.
Well, something that could possibly give you hope and gave me a little bit of hope is Gibson released its sales for, I think, last year or 2 years ago, and like 60% of the guitars that were being sold to like young women, which is kind of cool. I think that would be an interesting kind of like turn for rock music to take, to have it be like more like almost predominantly women doing it. So something different that, you know, that would maybe line up with things that like Joan Jett were doing or anything like that, which will be pretty awesome.
Absolutely. Hopefully. I don't know. You don't have to have junk in your trousers to play rock music.
That's a fact.
I mean, it helps me personally, but I wouldn't want to change that. It would just throw off my balance now at this point. I'm just used to it.
Yeah.
The junk being there. But if you're starting out, you get used to no junk being there, it's no problem. You can do it. Believe me. I've seen it.
On that line, what kind of advice would you give to someone who's just kind of starting out now? I mean, obviously it's different from when you guys were starting off, but you've probably seen kind of how the music industry's playing shows have changed and altered. What would you kind of give as advice?
Just obsess over what you like and just do it over and over, and don't give a dang what anybody says. And the more different you are from everybody else, the better. And again, don't give a hot dang what anybody says, and don't listen to anybody. Don't listen to anybody. Just obsess over what you like and do it over and over and over and over again with extreme passion and get it all over everyone, and don't give a dang what they say about it. That's my advice.
Well, I mean, you definitely do that in the live shows. Chainsaws on toilet paper and all. Which seems
there's other stuff too, but we can't get into it.
Yeah, no, I don't want to spoil. I don't want to get anybody. Everybody bring ponchos though, if you're going to go see White Cowboy Coma. I'm just throwing it out there as a thing.
Is that a real poncho or is that a Sears catalog poncho?
Either way, bring something, because you know it can get messy a little bit. I hear a tale that you guys have gotten in trouble before for some of the things that you do in your live show. Am I accurate in hearing that tale?
In trouble? Oh yeah. I mean, sure. There's promoters who have screamed at us because their stage got chainsawed. there's like. I remember a fire chief in Calgary threatened to shut our show down until somebody put their junk back in their pants. Fire chief of Calgary. yeah, I mean, we've set off fire alarms. We've set off burglar alarms. We've like plastered the inside of a major venue in Toronto with coleslaw.
That sounds amazing.
That didn't go over well.
No,
I'll tell you that one.
That
one kind of started to smell after a while, and it sticks. It sticks to the wall and it stays there. So that was an experiment. We should have tried at home first. But you know, you roll with it. You roll with these things. We made up for it with the bar sales, because our people like to have a drink. So at the end of the night, they're counting their cash outs, and they're okay, we'll put up with this rotten cabbage for a while. And then they forget about it. They book us again.
Do you guys remember your very first show?
Yeah, I was at the 360. No longer there, Legion Hall on Queen Street in Toronto. And we actually have a board recording of it.
Really?
Yeah, on a cassette somewhere deep in a dungeon. Yeah, it was all covers. We played like all the Ride songs. We played like Slow Ride, Free Ride, I think Cat Scratch Fever. What else we play? We played played all the songs. Jesus Just All Right. We played Cheap Sunglasses. It was basically all just. It was basically the Dazed and Confused soundtrack. But yeah, and we had 9 guitar players and 2 drummers. And I'm not even joking. We had 9 guitar players.
How many former members have you guys had?
I think like 15, 16 years ago, we did a count. It was 120 at that point. So, and that was about 16 years ago. So I don't know. I don't know where it is now. Some of them are cryogenically frozen in the basement. Some of them are just, you know, lost. We lost them. We just kind of like, we took off in the van somewhere like near Stuttgart or something, and we forgot someone.
Well, that happens when you have so many people.
Knows where they are now.
Yeah. When you have so many people, you just sometimes forget them. It's like Home Alone, you know?
Yeah, but it's also good just to have a backup, right? You know, we've come prepared. You lose once, like, we got more. But now we're down to kind of a mean core right now. We'll probably switch it up again because we're always changing things all the time. But right now we're like a mean-ass, like, titanium ball of rock and roll. Yeah, it's just you know, basically we thought we were coming to Lesko and we, you know, 9 guitar players wasn't going to be feasible, but, you know, had we known about the renos.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, you got to plan in advance, and sometimes, you know, the renos happen and you just can't factor it in then afterwards, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, it's going to be a good time next Saturday at Lesko in Montreal, Wacab, Oklahoma, and our good friends Floating Widget. Oh, yeah.
Well, let me, I have a couple more questions for you here.
Because
I feel like somewhere along the line we got very serious. So let's lighten it up a bit here.
Yeah, all right.
You guys have worked with, have done a lot of recordings with a lot of different instrumentation. What's the worst musical instrument?
I don't like soprano saxophone.
That's very specific.
Kind of,
I like that.
Grates my ears, you know. I like John Coltrane, but when he gets on that soprano saxophone, it's grating as hell. And then you get Kenny G playing that thing, it just makes me want to kill. But the soprano saxophone, I think, is probably the worst. There's a couple other things I used to hate, but I've sort of lightened up now. But soprano saxophone can just go eat it.
Fair enough. And let me ask you what is probably the most difficult question for any of these bands to answer. Mm. At this moment, of course, because this is a very specific question, what is what's the best album that's been recorded that, of course, isn't a White Cowbell Oklahoma record?
That's not, as opposed to a White Cowbell Oklahoma record?
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Oh. I'd say the most perfect album in the universe would be Electric Ladyland by the Jimi Hendrix Experience. I've mostly only listened to it on LSD, so maybe I should try it otherwise. Maybe I'd change my tune, but I'm pretty sure that album is like flawless and almost biblical in its perfection. Olympic, even.
Fair enough. Well, everyone, you should go and see White Cowbell Oklahoma when they play at Lesko next week. It will be a great show, as I mean, I don't have any doubt that it won't be. It's always a fun
Saturday
show.
Nights.
And it's a Saturday, so don't make up any excuse like, oh, I have to go to work the next day. No, none of that. No. That is invalid.
And if you're supposed to go to work, you won't be.
Yeah, just don't go to work. and to give you kind of a taste of what is in store for you, What is? I have opened the White Cowboy Oklahoma Bandcamp up here. What is a track that you think is kind of most representative of your body of work that I can play off of here? Now, that's kind of a loaded question in itself. Body.
Oh, by the way, if you're on the Bandcamp, don't forget to pick up your patented White Cowbell, NASA-engineered, patented White Cowbell Oklahoma cock rag sexual cleanup. It's a sexual cleanup device. You can buy them at the show as well, but you can't get them on Bandcamp. They are NASA-grade material, slops up any kind of sexual mess. Or otherwise. Sorry, go on. Yeah, oh, a track.
Yes.
You want something in the newer vein of White Cowboy, or do you want me to go deep into the deep tracks?
That is up to you, good sir. I ask you to choose between your many children and put one forward so the rest can be angry at it.
All right. Well, we've been digging out this real, real kind of oddball track lately and playing it. And it's got the most amount of notes. It's literally the best rock and roll value you will get. It's got more notes per square inch than any other song in our catalog. It's called Keys to the Universe on the Bombadero album. Bombadero?
Bombadero?
Bombadero. And it's got many sections. It's kind of like, it took me a while to warm up to Rush, and then I'd realize we'd already written a Rush song. So there you go. It's kind of as prog rock as we get. One moment it's Rush, one moment it's Black Sabbath, and it's all the time it's White Cowboy Oklahoma. It's got some backwards legalese from a legal textbook read backwards in it. It's got pretty much everything you need to get through your day.
It's the kitchen sink of White Cowboy Oklahoma songs.
Yeah, and we've been pulling that one out, and we hope to play it. And let's go next Saturday in Montreal.
So everyone, make sure that you are out at Let's Go next Saturday. Don't be dumb. Just go out and see a good show. That's what you should do. And Clem, thank you so much for calling in and chatting with me here.
Thanks, Andrew. It's always a pleasure to get on the Poison Rays with CGLO, who have been supporting us for many, many years. So we dig it. We dig it very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Montreal. And I hope it's not as freezing cold as it was last year.
Well, here is A Keys to the Universe off of Bombadero. Make sure you check out White Cowboy Oklahoma this Saturday at Lesco. And keep it locked to Grade A Explosives. CJLO, 1690 AM. You'll get to hear that right after these commercially things.
Trombonist Audrey Ochoa has achieved the ideal. Influential compositions meticulously crafted with playful liberation. After two chart-topping international albums, Chronograph Records gives you her most ambitious project to date, Frankenhorn. Audrey Ochoa combines strings, horns, and a rhythm section with electronic remixes and chamber music, boldly fused with Latin and contemporary jazz. Frankenhorn, on all digital platforms now.
Hello, friends. Do you enjoy sweet melodies gently caressing your ears like a summer breeze? Then go elsewhere, because here at the Noisy Lot, we listen to nothing but the loudest, angriest, and heaviest music this side of the decay. Join me, your host, Oren Loft, as I take you through a ride of the heaviest and strangest, bizarre assortments of music on CJLO 1690 AM.
This is
CJLO 1690 AM.
King of the sky, he didn't look below.
CJLO 1690 AM. That's some White Cowbell, Oklahoma, off of Bombadero. That's Keys to the Universe. I remember when that first came here to CJLO. Oh, God. Existential crisis coming in. Have to divert it. How do I do that? Let's change the subject abruptly. Okay. Big thanks to Clem for calling in and chatting with me on the show. I really enjoy those guys, and you should definitely go check them out when they play at Let's Go next Saturday, along with Floating Widget, who also, you know, sent their record in here and was pretty cool. I gotta say, pretty cool. Hey, let me change the subject almost entirely now. There's been a lot of stuff coming out on Eclipse Records, which is, I don't know this for a fact, but seems to be basically designed for me, to appeal to me. I'm very happy that they're doing this. I don't know why they've picked me to specifically target, but you know, I'm fine with it. I'm cool. Don't get confused about this. They put out like Kira and some other things. It's kind of like that sort of harder stuff you would hear on the radio in like the early to mid 2000s, you know, although not nu metal-y, right? It's like a step below nu metal in what it's doing. Think more like Chiavelli, although some people think that's nu metal too, but I would disagree. I would disagree and call them stupid if they were to say that. So I added kind of a loss of which to play here. I think I'm gonna play the Krugers, just because it's more kind of interesting based on where they're from. They're from Brazil, so I guess this, they're just doing stuff that they've heard recently. I don't know. But they've been doing, this kind of, you know, mid to early rock things. I'm going to play something off of the album Hysterical Cold Side and Dark Memories, which does not make sense as a title at all, like in the least. Let's play Freak Out from them, just because I can and I want to, and that's that. And then in the second hour, we will get to the listener, but until then, I'll try and, you know, slowly phase you in to sort of where what the listener is playing. Not really, because they're kind of mashing up all the genres into one delicious I don't know, cake. Let's go with cake, sure, of deliciousness. So let's start out with the Krugers. This is Freak Out off of Hysterical Cold and Dark Memories. You're listening to Great Explosives right here on CJLO 1690 AM. Enjoy. Back into ever clue.
listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal,